Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. And because Jelaine is not able to come and be here, we will not have children's church. But next week is the last, I think it's the fifth Sunday. Is that right? So we will have it. So I apologize for the inconvenience. You know, things happen. So she was trying to make it so that it could be done. But, you know, sometimes it just can't be done. You know, we just try to do whatever we can. So thank you. And I know, you know, the kids get a little rambunctious and, you know, want to move. And you just kind of take your hand and... I didn't want to say whack because, you know, you can leave that for home. But... You remember when we were young and they pinch us?
Oh, yeah.
That hurt so much on the legs. but God is good. So, you know, we do what we can, you know. And I know, parents, you do what you can, and I know that. I want you to turn to, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at starting with verse 12 and 13. 12 and 13. It says this: For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You should have shouted, Amen, huh? Thank God. You know, when you read over something, really read it. The eyes of the Lord, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The eyes, and I know we have the physical, but his eyes are over the righteous. You might say, well, I don't know if I'm right. Yes, you are righteous before God. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he called you righteous because, and holy because of the blood of Jesus. That covers you. You might say, well, Pastor, but you don't know what I did last week, actually, all that stuff. Let me tell you this. When you put it under the blood, it's like you've never done it before. Okay? He calls us right. Right just means right standing with him. He knows that possibly we will fall at times. He knows possibly we will say something that we shouldn't say or do something we shouldn't do. Or think something we shouldn't think. Okay? Whenever that happens, whenever those, you go to God, you ask forgiveness, and you go on. And he calls you righteous. Now, that doesn't mean we go around righteous with our nose stuck in the air. No. Righteous because of who God is and what he's done in our hearts and lives. But listen to this. This is not the prelude of what I'm going to tell, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Should have shouted again, people. Come on now. We serve a God that is alive and well. Alive and well. And he says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Number two, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Listen. The ears of the Lord are open to the prayers of the righteous.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
They are open. I know the enemy will try to tell you that God is not hearing your prayers, but he's a liar and truth does not come out of him.
Amen.
You might say, well, I've been praying and I've been praying and I don't see a difference. That doesn't mean that God doesn't hear your prayers, that it will come about in his timing or in his will.
Amen.
But we can rest assured by the word of Almighty God that he hears our prayers, that we are righteous before him, and he is attentive to the prayers of his people. And what happens, he allows to happen. Because he's in charge. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you? Who is he that will harm you? People. God protects us. God moves upon us. He's telling Peter, as Peter is writing this, by the power of Almighty God, who will harm you? People, now that doesn't mean we don't use wisdom. But he's saying, who will harm you? There's nothing from the evil world that could harm you unless I would allow it to bring about my will up in your life, like Job or whatever else. But our God is in control. Who's going to harm us? Who has the power to overcome? God Almighty, who is all powerful, omnipotent, all powerful. Who can tie him up and come after us? There's nothing in hell. There's nothing from the foul spirits of the enemy. There's no demon in hell that can tie up our God and come after us and destroy our lives.
Yes.
No one.
Yes.
No one. No one. My God, how powerful is our God. And who is he who will harm you? If you be followers of that which is good. Placing our faith in the promise of Almighty God in who he is. People, as you pray and seek God, God is on the terms of answering those prayers according to his will. We can take the scriptures and we can say, Lord, remember your word. Remember what you said through Peter. And Lord, we claim that scripture as I pray it, that I am righteous before you, that Lord, you're answering my prayers because your ears are attentive to the things that I'm saying and praying about. And Lord, you will not let any harm come my way that you haven't allowed for whatever reason. God is in control, people. God is in control. God is in control. You're not in control. I'm not in control. The evil world is not in control of this place or this area. But God Almighty, because we have allowed him to fill our hearts with his presence, his power, his anointing, and his power and his presence. And as we continue to serve him, Almighty God will work on our behalf to accomplish his will in our hearts and in our lives and in this church. Power, the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
We trust him. We trust him. We trust him no matter what. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer. Oh, he'll have an answer. It might be no, but he'll have an answer.
Yeah.
We might not like the way that the prayer is unanswered. But listen to this. But an unoffered prayer. The great tragedy of life is not an unanswered prayer, but an unoffered prayer. Oh, people. An unoffered prayer. That means not praying about something.
Yes.
Not praying about the salvation of your loved ones. My Lord, people. Not praying about whatever situation comes your way. And I'm not saying you have to spend an hour and a half, but you give it and you offer back to God and you say, Lord, look what's going on. Lord, move upon that situation. Move upon that situation. Help us, Lord God. Give us direction.
Yes.
Give us your anointing, your power to do what you want, Lord God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Almighty God. Almighty God. Praise be unto our God. We can see in Scripture where God moved mightily. And probably each and every one of us could stand up and testify about how God mightily moved in your life through whatever situation, how God answered your prayers that no one else knew about, huh?
Amen. Amen.
That was prayed in secret. And I say in secret or in a closet, it was prayed with no one else knowing except you and the Godhead. That's four. Yeah, four. One, two, four. Four fingers. you and the Godhead, and to see God move upon that situation because of what he wanted to do. And we've all seen where God answered prayer. It might have been no, or he might have answered it another way. We got to remember this. We don't control God. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft, people, trying to control other people. As a pastor, the pastor should never try to control people. Hey, I know some pastors, you got to bring your W-2s to them. You know how much power that he thinks he or she has? That's a shame. That's an absolute shame. Because they want to make sure you're tithing off of everything. Well, I look at it this way. You're going to reap whatever. If you tithe, God's going to bless. He said he'd open up the windows of heaven and he'd pour out blessings. He said to give tithe and what?
Offerings.
Tithe and offerings. Ooh, just to do what he says to do. And you'll see where God will move upon that situation no matter what. No matter what. Somebody was telling me about a blessing this morning where God blessed them. And I just said, I know why. Because of your faithfulness and what you've given and what you've done. That's a blessing. You know, we see the things that God can do and where God wants to move people. It's going to take prayer. We got to take time to pray, people. And I'm not saying you have to go in a room for an hour and a half. And that's okay if you want to. You can pray in your car. But take some time every day to go to God, to worship him, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to give him the praise and the honor that he so deserved. Take some time every day. And even you children, listen, you can pray. You can. Most of you can read. You're at the age where you can read now. Read your Bibles. Get that word in you. Concentrate on your relationship to him, everybody. Because you see, in the end, when you close your eyes for the last time, you want to have no regrets, people. That you did everything you can to fulfill the will of God in your life. That you accomplished what God wanted. Can you imagine that you accomplished what God wanted? You might say, Pastor, I started late. That's okay. It's how you finish. Come on, people. It's how you finish. Doing everything you can to serve a God that has given all he could to us. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, page 467. 467. Y'all doing good. Or doing well. I missed Jelaine this morning. That's my sidekick. I mean, we are Andrew and Haley and Jess and everybody else who's not. We just miss. Just miss. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Here we see Hannah prayed. You might say, well, why is this have? I want you to see how God answers prayer, people. Our faith has to come from him and placed in the cross, but we get our faith also from what we see what God has done and what God will do. Here we see Hannah had prayed because, you know, the other wife, whatever, was having children after a child after child, and she was barren. But you see, she didn't realize that she was barren for such a time as this. Amen. To bring in the prophet. You see, sometimes we don't realize why things are going on like they are. in our own personal lives and we don't understand. But we got to keep our faith in Him. Keep doing what He says to do. Keep going where we need to go. Doing what we need to do. And God will bring about the things that need to happen. And here we see, she went to God and she said, Lord, if you will give me one child, a man child, I will give him totally unto you. And she even said, I will even, you know, he will take on a Nazarite vow, which is a vow unto the Lord. And there were certain things they can and cannot do. Shaving of the head and touching a dead carcass and all that stuff. But God had got her to the place where she was ready to hand over her child to God. And saying, Lord, your will be done. And in that, she raised up a prophet for the Lord. Can you imagine that the child that came forth, her first child, because she said, only if you give me a man child, I will give him back to you. God answered that prayer and gave her a child. And he became a prophet in the land of Israel, a mighty prophet for God. And God not only gave her one child, but he gave her sons and daughters to complement her in what she had done and what she was given unto him. He gave her 3 more sons and 2 daughters. My God. My God. And look, when we are willing to give our best to God, he blesses us with more. Get it in your spirit. When we give our best to him, he gives us even more. She gave her best. What she had, can you imagine? Waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And she makes a pact or a covenant with God and says, if you give me one, just one, I'll give him to you. And we know the story of how she went into the temple and all that stuff. God gave her 3 more sons and 2 more daughters because of her. She gave her best. People, give God your best. Give God your best. You might say, my best is not enough. I understand. And probably your best, you won't be able to live up to. I know that. But I tell you what, if you have a goal to give your best, God will honor what you want to give him. And he will help you to become what you need to be. Because you gave your best, he will give you more. He will give you more than what you ever thought he could give you. We're not looking to get more. We're not looking to beg him for anything. But we're looking to give our best and let him give what he desires and wants to give. Because he is in control. He is in control of what we have. Yes. Give your best to God, and I'm telling you, he will give you more than what you ever think you could have. And I'm talking, it could be physical things. It could be spiritual things. Whatever you need, that's the kind of God we serve. But she prayed and God answered. My God, what a God we serve. Don't give up on God and what he can do. In Acts chapter 12, page 1928, look at verse 5. Acts 12, verse 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 12, verse 5. It says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Look at verse 12 of that same chapter. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, you are mad. That means just she it wasn't true. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is an angel, which we knew it was Peter. It was an angel that got him out of that prison. The church went to praying. God answers your prayers. Amen. We're praying. I'm telling you, God's going to move upon that situation of all their lives, people. God's going to move because we have faith in our God. Peter was in prison. An angel came, took off the chains, unlocked the gates, went through like nothing. Here the church was praying, the body of believers. Knocks on the door and the servant goes and, what, Peter, the voice? Closes the door, doesn't even let didn't even let, and goes and tells them. And they come and they say, okay, now, girl, something's wrong. They praying for something. We got to believe, people. We got to believe it. The prophecy came forth 2-3 weeks ago. We got to believe. And all of a sudden, an angel came and took him out. And here Peter was thinking, I had a vision or in a dream. And all of a sudden, he realizes it's reality. Can you imagine? God, and really, capital A, that really means it's part of the Godhead that went in, Jesus. Jesus. And took Peter out. Can you imagine? One day, you never know. That angel may walk into your house. Now, if it's Jesus Christ, you bow and you pray to him. If it's another just angel, don't bow to that. Oh, no, no. They're messengers. You don't bow to anything except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why God abhors idols, because they bow to those things. He hates it because it takes their hearts. And it takes their hearts and it makes them look to something else except the cross of Calvary and what Jesus did for us. Never, never, never. But look, the victory. They prayed and look, God answered. They prayed and God answered. Here we see, if you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 19, page 665. 665. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jerusalem is under siege, so Hezekiah prays to save his people. Our country is under siege. Our community is under siege. And we go to the God that can handle this situation. Hezekiah knew he couldn't do anything about it but pray. And that's the best thing, people. That's the best thing. They had come in and they took over Jerusalem or Israel. And it was under siege. But look what God did. That night, the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, which compelled the rest of the army to return home without a fight. Look, when we put things in the hands of God, we don't know what God's going to do. But God is looking and saying, come on, church. Come on, people. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let me handle it. We think we know better sometimes. We don't know better unless God gives us wisdom through his word, or he speaks to us and it lines up with this word. Then we act upon it. But I tell you what, when we put it in the hands of God, God can take control of it. And he didn't send the army of the Israelites or anything like that. They were just out of it. But an angel came during the night and slaughtered 185,000 men. You might say, well, God says he doesn't want to kill or shouldn't. Let me tell you this. God will do what he needs to do to take care of his church, his body of believers, his people, his children. We are sons and daughters of the living God. When we got saved, we become sonship with him. Sons and daughters of the living God. He takes care of his people. There's nothing out there that could harm you or do anything evil against you, because God is in control. We lay our lives before him. And look, Hezekiah said, God, do something. He didn't know what God would do. You see, we don't have the wisdom of God. He dots every I and he crosses every T. He does everything directly and right. I wish I could have been there just to see the angel come forth. My God, Jesus Christ. And slaughter. Now, do you think he loved these people? But let me tell you this. When it comes to his children, he loves the whole world. And the whole world can accept him or not. But when a girl or a boy accepts, or a man or a woman accepts Christ, that's his son. That's his daughter. Yes. And he takes care of his people.
Amen.
My God. And slaughtered by a prayer of Hezekiah. One more. Jairus. Now, before we go on, it says, whenever God's people follow his plan, he wages war on their behalf. When we follow his plan, he wages war on our behalf and will do what needs to be done. Jairus, we could turn to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5, page 1721. Children, you are doing great today. Adults, too, you're doing great. Say, Pastor, you're doing good, too, a little bit.
You're doing good, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 5, verse 23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Here we see Jairus, which was a synagogue ruler, went to Jesus and said, please come and lay hands on my daughter. She's dying. You know, we've all been at that place where not so much maybe death, it could be, where we go to him and say, Lord, there's no other one I can turn to.
Amen.
But I know you can handle this.
Yes.
And I know you can do it.
Yes.
And he went to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll come. And while Jesus was gone, Jesus didn't get distracted, but I'll use that word. He knew what was happening. And he went and started and healed someone else. And when here Jairus was saying, oh my Lord, she's about to die, and died. His daughter died. And by the time Jesus got to her, she was dead. And Jairus comes out and says, look, thank you for wanting to come, but she's already dead. You see, sometimes we think God is too late. He's just right on time, people. He's just right on time.
Yes.
Every time. Because we are his sons and daughters.
Amen.
We may think he's late. And we may even think he's forsaken us with this whatever situation. But I tell you what, he didn't. And he won't. He's right on time, people. In all situations. He got in there and here they are, mourners. And mourners at that, they paid for mourners to cry. They had these people crying and crying and crying over Jairus, the daughter that had died. And he kicked them out and said, get out of here. And he went in and he prayed and she was healed.
Amen.
That built the faith of this ruler. He's never too late. Jesus wants to extend our heart's desires, and he wants to resurrect our faith. Jesus wants to extend our heart's desires, and he wants to resume our faith. You see, Jairus lost that faith in Christ for a little bit. He went up to him, and he knew he could do it. Then Jesus went somewhere else and did something else. And I'm sure between that time of his daughter dying and him going somewhere else and praying for his faith was lost. I know it. Our faith gets lost sometimes. And Jesus has to come back in and renew our faith. And you see, the devil will try to distract our faith in Christ. He'll try to. Or diminish our faith in Christ, saying he can't do that. But let me tell you this, Jesus is always right on time.
Yes, yes.
Don't let the enemy distract your faith in what God wants to do. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep honoring God in what he can do. Let's go back to that first scripture, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, page 2157, as I'm about to close. says this, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? We have to follow which that which is good, which is Christ, to have the benefits of him. His ears are open to us, and him calling us righteous. Remember, his ears are always open to your prayers. Always. It may feel like he's not there, but he's always there. You may say, man, I've been praying for my spouse and I don't see any change. You keep praying. Because his ear keep praying for Otis, please. Amen. Even when he gets right, keep praying. Because we keep praying for our spouses. We keep praying for our children. Because the enemy wants to destroy them, people.
Yes.
We keep praying for our grandchildren. Yes. We keep praying for our families. We keep praying for your pastor. Keep praying for us. No matter what you see or not see, you keep praying. Because God can change those situations. Keep praying for the community. Keep praying for the government leaders. Because you see, the scripture says he's open. His ears are open to our prayers. His ears are open to our prayers. Okay, look. And not because we have done anything, but we did put our trust in him, but because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
You know, we can say, well, I'm righteous, you know, and yes, we are righteous before. Okay, that means right standing. But because I'm righteous, he has to listen to me. Let me tell you something.
No.
We don't tell God what to do. We need to get out of that stuff. I don't know where that came from, but the teaching has happened that, you know, I can tell God. We present our request to him in honor and respect. Now, he wants us to be bold as we go before the throne. But we have to be bold, but we have to let him tell us what he needs to tell us, too. We might be praying wrong. We might not be praying exactly how he wants us to. So he has to tune us up. Tune us up to the Spirit of the Lord. And let us get our place right so he can move upon that situation that we're praying about. And he will handle those things that concern us. Because he calls us righteous. Say, I'm righteous. Oh, my Lord, I know you believe it. Let's say it again because I want to affirm to that. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Amen. Now, we're all righteous because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
On Calvary's cross, right standing with him. And he hears your prayers, people. He hears your prayers and he protects us. What a God we serve, people. Amen. You may stand, please.